chapter 1, verse 2. We read this: "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Are you rejoicing at the trial of the storm? Has your faith been proven? Has it been found genuine? If so, then there's much to rejoice about. But what now? It might sound crazy to you, but I think of things like this, the storm, much in the same way that I think of conferences such as the Fellowship Conference or the G3 Conference or any other conference. I think there's a lot of similarities between them, and it has to do with the outcome, the aftermath. What now? You've been to the conference, your spirit's been lifted, it's been filled, and now comes everyday life. Now comes life as normal. What is life as normal? The fellowship should be a part of life as normal. The storm should be just a part of life as normal. It's another day that the Lord has given us to live for Him, to trust in Him, to look at Him and not at ourselves. I really
do think this is going to be very short this morning, but open to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, and while you're turning there, I'll pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd give help this morning. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see you. Lord, that you would increase our faith. Lord, that the one that says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," that you would answer that prayer this morning. Lord, that the one that is feeling weak and distant and cold and dry, Lord, that they would not trust in themselves, realizing that the flesh profits nothing and how I feel is in regard to the flesh, but you desire us to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, to the one that feels mighty and strong and rejoicing and feels like they can rush upon a troop, Lord, they can leap over a wall, Father, grant them humility, Lord, to see that apart from Christ we can do nothing. Lord, you know what the need of every person here is, including my own. Pray that you would help us today, in Jesus' name, amen. I thought about reading a large section of it, but I'm just going to pick up reading in verse 12. And it's actually just a very short piece I want to look to, but to give a little bit of context, Moses has gone up on the mountain, and they've made a golden calf at the bottom of the mountain. As Moses is up receiving the tablets of the covenant, the people slipped quickly into idolatry, and Moses has gotten angry with them. And he's gone up to the Lord to speak with the Lord to see what he should do, and is about to receive the two new tablets, which he will have to carve out himself. But that's right in the middle of where we're at. So in verse 12, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by you going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the people who are upon the face of the earth? And then Moses prays and asks him to show me your glory. I want to look at really just one thing this morning. Moses says to the Lord, if you don't go with me, if you're not going to go with us, then we'll just stay right here. Don't lead us anywhere else. If you're not going with us, then I'll stay right here where I am. Verse 16. How then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? How do you know if God is with you? How do we know if God is with us, if God is going along with us? He says, be holy, for I am holy. Are you living a holy life? The storm is a little reminder. Maybe, you know, sometimes you're, those of you that have guns, you know, you have to keep them sighted in. They may get bumped or something and the sights get off a little bit. And sometimes storm like this, things like this in life can help us maybe get our focus back a little sharper. But if it's the storm that did it, then by the end of this week, everything will be back to normal like it was last month. If it was just the storm, it will not last. Calamities don't have any power to bring about repentance. Calamities don't have any power to bring about sanctification. It's the presence of God that does it. It's God with us that does it. He may use the storm, or he may use a sermon that you hear, or he may use a verse, or he may use something completely unrelated, something at work, some instant. He can use whatever he wants to. But what is the reason Moses says, lead us, you go with us, or we're not going anywhere? Because of the holiness of God. Because of the name of God being holy among the nations and the people around them. How are they going to know unless you go with us? How are they going to know that we are yours unless you go with us? Unless your presence goes with us and abides with us. This is very much the reason why Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, apart from the presence of Christ, the Spirit of Christ within us, the Holy Spirit that he has given to every believer, and the call to obedience, the call to obey him, call to holiness. I think we find a good example of what this holiness looks like in chapter 34 in verse 6. This is after Moses said, show me your glory. And he says, you can't look at my face. I'll put you in a rock. I will hide you in a rock. And I will put my hand over and I'll pass in front of you. And you can't see my face, but when I pass by, then I'll remove my hand and you can see my back parts. And this is what happened when the Lord passed by. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worshipped. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. I think in these verses here, we see what it means to be holy as God is holy. God says about himself in verse 6, the Lord God, compassionate. How do we live holy lives? We live compassionate lives to those around us. I've been thinking actually about this a lot, and I'm not doing it for study, I'm doing it for myself. Compassion to the poor, and who are the poor? Our first compassion is to the people of God, to each other here in this church. Being compassionate with one another, it's the first place it is to be seen. And then it extends outwards. Do good to everyone, especially the household of faith. Be compassionate to everyone, but especially the household of faith. We should not be taking care of the needs of anyone outside these doors unless we're taking care first of the needs inside the doors. This is how we show ourselves to be a holy people, that God is with us. And gracious. This will take care of a lot of problems that will arise among us. A lot of potential places for there to be disunity, for there to be strife and conflict, if we are gracious with one another. If we think best about our brother, rather than, why does he do that? Why does so-and-so have to sing so loud? Is he trying to show off? Or, man, why doesn't Sister So-and-so sing? I can't even hear when I'm standing right in front of her. Doesn't she love the Lord? These are the kind of thoughts that the enemy can bring up and start putting in your minds. Seems like it comes out of nowhere, and before you know it, you have something against your brother. For no reason. Without any evidence. What Paul warns about it in Romans, you become judges against your brother. But if we're gracious, man, my brother's worshiping, he loves the Lord and he shows. Or the person that can hardly sing, man, they must be just really worshiping the Lord and loving the Lord and can hardly sing. See the difference? Gracious thoughts. Gracious catching those things. Slow to anger. How can we be a holy people? By being slow to anger. Catching yourself. When you find yourself, the moment you realize it, immediately, right then, right there, stop. Abounding in loving kindness and truth or faithfulness. Abounding, not a little
loving and a little truthful. Not worried about, well, I know that's almost true, or from the standpoint of faithfulness, well, I'm being mostly faithful. But abounding, the Lord is abounding in loving kindness, and we are to be like the Lord. Abounding in loving kindness and truth and faithfulness, unswerving. Past week, had a conversation with a brother there in down south, and we were not agreeing on what we were discussing. And I was not about to relent from my argument, but I wasn't about to get mad at him either. Because it was a very important matter. It was something very important, but it did not exclude him from being my brother. We have to stand for truth. We must be faithful to the Word of God. But the Word of God tells us how we can be at odds with each other. One man believes it's okay to eat meat. Another one, not okay to eat meat. One man, well, yeah, you can have a glass of wine and thank the Lord. Another man, no, cannot drink wine. That's a sin. Those are things that put brothers at odds in their opinions. And each one of them should stand in truth while being gracious to their brother and not allowing that to be something that comes between them. How does the Lord deal with us when we steer out of the truth? He's compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He is always for truth. But He is gracious with us also. And who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. How often do I forgive my brother? 7 times in a day? No, Jesus said 70 times 7. How often does the Lord have to forgive you in a day? If you can keep that in your mind, if you can keep the thought of how often you fail the Lord fresh in your mind, then forgiving your brother will come easy. And pardoning sin of your brother will come much, much easier. And yet, He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. It doesn't mean that we don't call sin sin. It doesn't mean that when something is not a secondary matter, but of first importance, things associated with the truth of the gospel, that we say with Paul, no, let him be accursed. He says we can be saved by faith in Christ and by our good works? No. He's damned and on his way to hell because he doesn't obey Christ. He doesn't believe in Christ. He's not trusting himself completely and utterly in Christ. This isn't some weak, mamby-pamby, never speak up or say anything kind of love and patience and graciousness. It's standing in truth. By no means leave the guilty unpunished. We have to call out guilt where there is real guilt and not let it go. You want to destroy the church? Allow sin to remain in the church. Why is mainstream evangelical churches, why are they in the condition that they are today? Why is there such weak gospel being preached, if it's being preached at all? It's because they've allowed sin to stay in the church. We've been studying the temple of God, right? Was it okay to bring idols into the temple? Was it okay to bring a sacrifice that was lame into the temple? Was it okay to skip the sacrifices because, you know, I just don't feel like it today? God will understand. He's loving. After all, He is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. I can skip Passover this year. I don't need to, you know, He'll understand. No, He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Many times being faithful, being like God, being godly, being Christ-like, will put you at odds with other people who profess faith in Christ. Make sure it's the right reasons. Make sure it's the right reasons. Is it of essential importance? Is it related directly to the gospel or the harm of the church? Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. What was his prayer? Let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. Confession of sin. Lord, you're right. We are stiff-necked. We are stubborn. We are prideful. We are rebellious. And that's why we need you. That's why we need you in our midst. That's why if the Lord does not go with us in our midst, then we will not be like Him. We will become like the Pharisees. Admission, confession. We are an obstinate people, but pardon our iniquities. Why in the world? What would give Moses the gumption to say that? Lord, we're wicked people. We're obstinate. We're sinful. But forgive us. What in the world would give him any reason at all to say that? Because of what the Lord just said. The Lord just said, Lord God is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Because he knew God is gracious. He didn't say they were deserving for him to go with them. He was appealing to the graciousness of God, to the loving kindness and compassion of God. Church, it's what we should do also. There is the one sense in where we can say, God must deal with us this way. He must be gracious to us. He must forgive us our sins. He has to. Because of Christ. Because of what Christ has done. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ our Lord. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. But there's also the realization of Paul, I'm the chief among sinners. Of the man that was standing next to the publican, standing next to the tax or to the Pharisee, and couldn't even lift his head towards God, but beat his breast, said, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. we can come boldly before Him through faith, trusting in Christ, bringing His own words to Him, and saying, Lord, pardon my iniquity, because You said You are compassionate. You said You're slow to anger. You said You are gracious. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you have stumbled and fallen into sin and you find yourself with a conscience that is just racked with guilt, that is a verse for you to run to and to cling to and to quote back to God. You said, if I confess my sin, You are gracious and just, have the right to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You said this. I'm clinging to that. I'm confessing my sin. I don't deserve it, but You said You would do it because of Your gracious, because of Your compassion. What now? As the storm is behind us and within a matter of days, power will be restored, people will be back to work, life as normal. What do we do now? The exact same thing You did in the moment of fear, in the moment of uncertainty, in the moment of not knowing what You should do. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Fix your eyes on Christ, who's seated at the right hand of God. Lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets you, and run with endurance the race set before you with your eyes fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Do the same thing we should have been doing the entire time, fixing our eyes on Christ, living every day for the glory of God, setting ourselves apart as a holy people, looking to Him, trusting in Him to be with us, praying, being in His Word, loving one another, helping one another, doing good to all, especially the household of faith, confessing your sins to one another, praying for one another, offering your bodies. Notice the body is something that is to be offered up, given up to death. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And the mind is to be controlled. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. What do you do when you find yourself thinking thoughts you shouldn't be thinking? Control it. Be transformed by renewing your mind. Change what you're thinking about. Put your eyes back on Christ. Suddenly find, if you're like, I spent first almost half of my life filling my mind with ungodly things, and they come back in very easily. Very easily. I can just be singing a song in my mind, just having a tune going over in my mind, and just not even paying attention really. And the next thing I know, where did that come from? The moment it happens, what do? You be transformed by renewing. Change the way you're thinking. Repent. Change how you're thinking. And I purposefully, consciously, sometimes it's a struggle and takes a force of will and power. Start putting other thoughts in my mind. Start praying for someone. Start singing a song of praise. Start worshiping the Lord. Any number of things. That is being holy like the Lord. That is saying, Lord, I'm not going any farther unless you go with me. You stop, you recognize where you're at, what's going on. I'm not going to go anymore unless you go with me. And that can happen in just a boom, just a second. Some people got very emotional during the storm. Those emotions are not going to last. I'm sorry. That is life. Emotions kill faith. You realize that? There's nothing wrong with emotion. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. It is sometimes emotion is produced by faith. But the emotion will die off. True faith will not. True faith will not. True faith carries on beyond the emotion. I have... But in my position as a pastor, I have a little bit... I think probably easier time recognizing that than most of you. But it was still true, and I know that you still experience the same thing. It is often when you are dry. It is often when you feel distant from the Lord. It's often when you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. That you read, you open up the Bible and you just, it's just a struggle. It's a struggle to read even a paragraph because your mind just keeps darting off and you cannot focus. And you just don't feel the nearness of the Lord. It is often those times the Lord will use you in the life of others and you won't feel a thing. Because the feelings simply don't matter. Faithfulness matters. Trust matters. Obedience matters. Maybe you're at work and you're just couldn't care less. And the Lord brings someone across and allows you to talk to them. Gives you a few minutes to mention Christ. To talk about eternal things. You don't have to feel like talking about it in order to do it. Just like I don't have to feel close to the Lord to stand up here and preach. I have no idea what other preachers' experiences are, to be honest. To be honest, I don't really want to know. I just... I'm just grateful to the Lord that it just doesn't matter. What matters is that my Lord sees me. And I stand before Him, and I give an account to Him, and I do what is right by Him. That should be exactly what you feel. It just doesn't matter what you feel like. You answer to God. You stand before God. You do what you do for Him. He is your audience. What did Jesus say? He warned. He gave stern warnings. Don't do things to be seen by men. God sees. When you do your good deeds, when you pray, when you give thanks, when you give, when you fast, and all these things that you do, you have an audience of one. That's the only thing that matters. Having that right makes this right. Not necessarily easy, but right. In the right perspective, I cannot stand before Him as I should without standing before you as I should. You cannot stand before God as you should without standing before one another as you should in your place of work, in your home, and all these different things. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. That's 4 Timothy, 2 Timothy, for us, to us. Well, pray the Lord would help us. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for giving it to us so abundantly and freely. Father, I thank you for giving us Christ, the one that your word points to, the one that your word declares so abundantly and so freely, that we have peace with you, our Father, through Christ. Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not all my toiling flesh is born can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God, but Christ can, and he does. Lord, we thank you for your Son. Thank you for sending him in our place. Lord, that the wrath of God no longer abides on us because it was unleashed on him. Father, I pray if there's any here that do not know that, that are under the wrath of God, Lord, that you would open their eyes to understand what you have done in Christ Jesus. There is a Redeemer. He paid the penalty for us. He suffered for us. If we obey him, if we believe him, if we believe you. Father, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, as we continue on worshiping you the remainder of the day, this week. Lord, help us to live our lives before you, offering our bodies up to you for you to use, just a vessel, a clay jar for you to use and do whatever you want with it. Lord, go with us as a church, as a body. Lord, let us follow you wherever you lead. Lord, just don't leave us. Lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you would, go ahead and bring your song sheets up here. Looks like we got enough crock pots, so we'll get set up and enjoy some fellowship together.